All right, come on, give it up. Yeah. Let me just say right here, welcome to all those who are joining us online. We're so glad to have you with us. It's part of our church. You're our online campus. We're honored to have you each and every week. Come on, let's thank God for those. Come on, let's welcome everyone that's here online. And while we're doing that, would you do me a favor this morning? I wonder if you would just be so kind to take out your phones. I know you all have one, all your gadgets. And I had one person look at me, do that. No, okay. And would you do me a favor and check into crosspointworshipcenter.com? Excuse me, Crosspoint Worship Center, what is that, on Facebook? Is that how you do that? Yeah. And also while you're doing that, you could share the live feed. That actually invites more people into our house. You could check in and also just share that live feed that's happening right now. And just a way of us extending this out beyond our four walls. Because I believe God has something very, very powerful to say today to us. I believe it's going to be a word of encouragement for those that are in the house. I know that it's for someone here in this house. I also feel in my heart that it might be for somebody specifically that's watching online right now. And so I just want to encourage you with the word of the Lord today. I believe it's going to be a powerful word that's going to be a very timely message. I want to just pause though and just say I want to appreciate every one of you. Many of you have expressed your kindness to us during this Christmas season, myself and my family, and we just want to say a heartfelt thank you to each and every one of you. I thank you for what you do for the kingdom of God and for the Lord. I know you're not here for yourself. I know you're not just here for me. I know you're here for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just pray God's blessings upon your life. I encourage you, as Karen did in our dream team huddle this morning, that your labor is not in vain. It's done to the Lord, and God's going to bless that effort and all the labor for him with eternal results. Anybody believe that with me today? Come on. We're not sowing seeds in vain. Amen. Amen. I want to get right into this message this morning. I believe today, again, I love this Sunday, the last Sunday of the year. It's a very pivotal Sunday. It's where we've got 2018 pretty much behind us now, and we're looking forward to 2019. And for some, you might find yourself on this Sunday very filled with a sense of accomplishment and excited about the new opportunities that lie ahead, while there are others who may be filled with perhaps even disappointment that the goals that you set were not reached, or perhaps you feel like the last year or what you've been going through recently, or you know, in recent history in your life has just compounded to a great sense of disappointment and even maybe perhaps apprehension about what tomorrow holds. It may be that, you know, you find yourself overwhelmed with the weight of your problems, and today it's like it all accumulates. You know, it's like the end of the year, and it all accumulates, and you find yourself at the end of your rope. Well, I want to give you some hope for the end of your rope. You know, pastors do funny things like that. We like to make things rhyme, okay, kind of cutesy, but it's so true. I want to give you some hope today. I'm reminded of a story I heard many years ago. Most of you probably have heard this before, where this guy, he's in the mountains and he falls off of this cliff. And on the way down, there's this branch like sticking out from the side of the mountain, the cliff there, and he grabs hold of it, and he's hanging, and the thing's bending, and he's hanging for dear life, and he looks down, and it's way down there. It's death looming below him. And he starts crying out for help to somebody on the top of the cliff. Somebody, help, help me. Help me. Is anybody there? Is anybody there? Can help me, help me. I want somebody to throw him a rope or something, you know. And so as he's yelling, he hears this voice that says, "This is God. Let go of the branch and I will catch you." And he says, "Is there anybody else up there?" You know. And sometimes kind of we feel that way. We want to trust God, but when it gets right down to it, I remember yesterday I was saying something, and Kim and I, we had a little bit of a frustration about an issue that was affecting me personally, and she said, what are we going to do? I said, well, we're just going to have to trust in the Lord. You know, like that's the last resort, but it should be our first response, not our last resort, right? We're just going to have to trust in the Lord. That's what we should do automatically. As Christians, we should be set on trusting the Lord and depending on Him. I think sometimes our problems aren't sent to destroy us, but actually I think our problems, our frustrations, even our disappointments, our doubts, our fears, all those things I think can be great tools to cause us to draw close to God, to cause us to seek more of Him, to cause us to crawl up in His lap, if you would, like Daddy God, you know, and just be close and intimate to Him and let Him hold us, shelter us, and care for us. I think it can work to our good when we turn to Him. Often, though, we turn the opposite direction. We turn to our own resources, vices or devices, or what have you, and we find our own way out, and when actually we find many of those ways out are just dead-end roads. But God has a plan for our life. It's going to give us hope. And so I just want to look at it this way. When we're on this journey, I look at this as kind of a journey, especially on a Sunday like today, end of a year, beginning of a new year, you can kind of see the picture of that we're on a journey. And we've reached this point or this place or this intersection of yesterday and tomorrow where we find ourselves overwhelmed with the problems of yesterday. And the problems of yesterday aren't just problems of yesterday. They can be problems of right now, because we got yesterday all on our shoulder. We're heavy with it. We're dealing with it. We're overcome with anxiety then also of what tomorrow brings, with fear and worry, and maybe even a sense of hopelessness when we don't see anything changing or improving in our situation. And so what happens is we tend to give up on the idea that anything will change. So therefore, we settle, or perhaps we even compromise. We adopt, if we're not careful, a cynical attitude about the future. And so we adapt. Now, adapt can be a great word. It's good to be able to be adaptable to things, but sometimes we use that in the wrong way. We apply it wrongfully in that we adapt in settling and thinking that this is as good as life is going to get. I'll just settle and camp right here. When actually, I just want to encourage you today that I believe that God has something better for you. I believe God has the best yet ahead of you. I believe that the latter end will be better than the beginning. I believe that God has a future that is bright. In fact, He promises in His Word, His plans for us are to give us a future and a hope. In fact, so much so, our future is so great that it's not just in this life. He's prepared all of heaven for us and eternity for us. The Bible says, in My Father's house, Jesus said, there are many mansions, and He has prepared a place for us. Can I just tell you, the future is very bright. And when you're walking with Jesus, it should be, listen, that the load gets lighter and the way gets brighter as we're following Jesus. Amen? And so, but if we're not careful, we adapt. And we think about what that area or that thing or that needs to change, you know, and many times when we think about something changing, we're thinking about the external. Well, if he would change, it'd be all right. If she would just, you know, if that thing, whatever, and we think about the external. But I want to encourage you today to think also not only about that, and I know there's some things that maybe need to change around us, and God's able to change that, but I believe the starting point is within us. It's the internal change that needs to happen. And when we allow God to change the internal, guess what? The external is going to follow. It's going to take care of itself. That's why Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Let God come and live within you. Let the kingdom of God be born within you. Then all these other things will take care of themselves. All these other things will be added into you. So, but as we look at this and we think about that area, there's some things that we tend to do when we look at something that needs to change. And some of you may be familiar with this kind of cycle that we've shared with you previously on this topic. But there's this cycle that we get into when we're trying to change and when we start sort of, you know, adapting. First of all, it becomes a part of your identity, you know, that thing, that area. When you think it's not going to change, you just begin to take it on as your personality or part of who you are. It's your makeup. And so you don't identify with who God has made you, who you are in Jesus Christ, but no, you identify with the problem that from yesterday, or this problem that you're currently dealing with, this problem that doesn't seem to go away. You kind of adapt to it. You put it on like a coat. You wear it around. You have a sign on you. That's just who I am. Come on. And so it becomes a part of your identity. And then a second part of that cycle is you feel increasingly hopeless. So it's just like, well, there's no hope. You know, that's a sad state to be in when there's just no hope. You just feel hopeless. It's just a matter of you just feel like giving up. And there's that sense of hopelessness that sets in. And then you become defensive because you know it's hopeless. When somebody tries to tell you to change or encourage you to change, or even tries to be positive and speak faith into your life that it's going to get better, you get defensive and you go, no, it's not either. This is the way it is. And you kind of get defensive because what you do is you're looking at the future, but you're judging it by the past. You're judging it by precedent and what has been the course in the previous. And so therefore you hold the future hostage because of what has happened in the past, right? You say, no, that can't happen. And so you become defensive. And then if you're not careful, you become a slave to that thing or that area where you're now in a place of bondage. And it begins to take control of your life. Chains start wrapping around yourself where you're enslaved by that thing. And you have this mentality that you're totally in bondage. There's nothing that no one or anybody can say or do that will change that you're enslaved to it. And then the last part of that cycle is where it's really sad, and that's that you begin to lose your life. You begin to lose the purpose for which God has made you and who you are in Christ Jesus. And you begin to lose your life to that thing. I want us to reevaluate today. I want to encourage you to reevaluate yourself, your life, your situation. Listen, by who you are in Him, let me put it to you another way that's powerful. By who He is in you. Some of you need to write that one down. If you're taking notes, write this down. If you're not taking notes, write this down. By who you are, listen, evaluate your situation yourself by who you are in Him, but then turn that around, put it another way, by who He is in you. And that's what I want to talk with you about for just a moment this morning. I want you to understand that God is greater. God is greater. It's the title of this message. It's just a standalone message. It's not in a series, but this standalone message, I've titled it Greater. God is greater. I'm going to give you a scripture found in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4 that says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them." So there's some things that we need to overcome. Sometimes it's internal, sometimes it's external, but there's some overcoming that we need to do. And the Bible says that we are, Paul said, "I'm more than a conqueror." Jesus said, "Look, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." So there is the ability to overcome. You don't have to be overwhelmed and overcome. You can be an overcomer. And he says, "And you are of God, little children, and have overcome them." Whatever them may be, it could be different things for each of us. Because, listen to this, greater is He who is in you than he that is in the world. So whatever that them is for you, whatever that thing is for you, maybe it's a person, maybe it's a thing, maybe it's something within yourself you're battling, the Bible says that greater is He that's in you than he that is in the world. The NLT of that translates it this way. It says, "But you belong to God, my dear children." In other words, you're His responsibility. He cares for you. He's going to take care of you. He has you in the palm of His hand. And no one can even pluck you out of His hand. You are in His safe keeping in His hands. And He says, "You have already won a victory over those people." You've already won the victory over those people because, look at this, the Spirit who lives in you is greater than the Spirit who lives in the world. I was talking to Kim yesterday, and I had, you know, I mean, come on, let's just be transparent. Sometimes we have these people that get under our skin. You ever have those? No, you don't have any of those, right? So I had something that occurred yesterday, and it rattled my cage. I mean, it rattled my cage. And and Kim said, "You can't let this destroy you." And in fact, I had three people. I just said, "You want to preach for me tomorrow? You know, you want to preach to me?" I don't even know if I mean, I don't even know what the spiritual condition was. I was just saying, you want to preach? Because I said, I don't think I got the right spirit right now. You know, because I felt a real wrongful spirit. Come on, anybody ever have that? Let's be honest. Come on, y'all sitting there all super spiritual, super saints, right? And I was thinking, I don't have the right spirit. And Kim asked me, and I said, what are you going to do? I said, you know what? There's only one thing to do, and that's pray, because I need His spirit. You see, He gives us His spirit when we don't have the ability. Here's the thing. When we talk about greater, it's not that you're greater, it's He's greater. It's not that you're greater. It's not that. Listen, if you try to go out and fight the enemy by yourself alone in your own strength, you are going down. But when you understand that battle is not yours, but it's the Lord, and in Him, listen, in myself I can do nothing, but in Him, come on, Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and we have the ability. Come on. He is more than enough. He's more than enough. And so what we need is not our spirit or carnal spirit or the world spirit. Come on, we need the Spirit of the living God. And that's when we come to that place and we surrender ourselves and say, God, it's not about me. It's all about you. I need you. I don't have it. I don't have the ability, but I need you. And we allow His Spirit to come in. Listen, that's when He comes in and He makes Himself great in your house. He makes Himself great in this house. Following me? So 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 says that. Now look at verse 15 and verse 16 of that same passage. It says, all who declare that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them, and they live in God. I inserted that because that's today's verse of the day for those of you that have the Bible app. You probably recognize that. All who declare that Jesus is the Son of God, you've made a profession of faith in Him. You believe in Him. Your faith is on Him. You've put your life in His hands. Have God living in them, and they live in God. And we know how much God loves us, and therefore, look at this, we put our trust in His love, knowing that He's working all things together for our good, that He's working all this out. He loves us, and He's going to care for us. So I want to declare a few things here this morning. Number one, God is greater. God is greater. Whatever you're going through, God is greater. Greater. Psalm 117 and 2 says, for great is His love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. For great is the Lord. Come on. Great is the Lord and worthy to be praised. God is great. I got ahead of myself, I think. I did, didn't I? I got ahead. I got on the wrong verse there. Psalm 145, verse 3. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. Okay? Psalm 145 and 3. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. So we can't begin to fathom how great our God is. Think about it. We're on this earth. We're walking on this planet earth. And we're dealing with problems on this planet earth. And sometimes we act like maybe God can't solve our problems because we're so filled with the worry. We consume it all ourselves. We take it all on ourselves. But do we not understand that the God we serve actually made the earth on which we're walking? Come on. He made the stars over our head. He made everything that we see and beyond to demonstrate how great He is and how great in His love is to us as well. Amen? There was one person in the Bible who approached Jesus about his son. He was in dire need, and he said to Jesus these words. He said, if you can. And Jesus basically turns to him, if I can? Now think about that. Sometimes I wonder if our prayer is that way. Oh God, some way, somehow, some way. If there's a way, if some way. You know? Not filled with much faith, just we're in despair here, Lord. I just don't know. I'm just not sure if you can, but if you can. I believe the Bible says that faith honors God. It's faith that honors Him. It's impossible, the Bible says, to even please God without our faith. So I just want to encourage you today to put your faith in a God who is greater than whatever it is that you are going through. God is greater. God's greater than that person. God's greater than that problem. Come on. God's greater than that mountain or that valley or whatever it is that you're going through, that habit, that addiction. whatever that is, the sin, whatever, God is greater. The Bible says His grace is greater, and His grace is able to cover a multitude of sins, right? His love, His grace is greater than all that we can ever go through. God is greater. So I don't know, you probably wake up with that thing on your mind in the morning or go to bed with it on your mind at night, whatever that thing may be. And whatever it is, you need to speak to that thing and declare, my God is greater. Amen? He's greater. He's greater than any obstacle. He's greater than any barrier. He's greater. Second thing I want to see, not only is God greater, God's love is greater. God's love is greater. Now this scripture in Psalm 117 and 2. For great is His love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. Great is His love. In fact, it's not just something He does, it's who He is. God is love. He loves us beyond measure. When we're messing up, He loves us. When we're far from Him, He loves us. When we're down and out and depressed and discouraged, He loves us. Come on. When we're rebellious and full of ourselves, He still loves us. Amen? He loves us. If we could get a hold of that. He loves us. He's not mad at you. He's still looking down at you saying, that's my child. I care about him. Or that's my lost kid. I'm trying to reach him. So much so that He sent His Son to demonstrate His love for us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us and gave Himself for us. Everybody, that's good news. That's the good news, everybody. God loves us. That's my message of hope to you today. God doesn't come to condemn. He comes to lift you. And then number three, God's plans are greater. God's plans are greater. So no matter what your plans are and how you think things should work out, how you think things should go, and how frustrated you are because your plans aren't working out, God's plans are greater. Proverbs 16 and 9 says, in their hearts, humans plan their course. But the Lord establishes their steps. I love that. The Lord oftentimes, I've said it many times, the Lord helps me in spite of myself. He directs us. The Bible says the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. He directs our steps. The Bible says commit your way unto the Lord and He'll bring it to pass. And I believe that doesn't mean that He'll bring your way to pass. I believe you commit your way to the Lord. In other words, it's now not my way, it's your way, Lord. I commit my way to your way. And then the Lord fulfills His way in our life and it is so much better. And it leads to life, it leads to peace. So we see that there's this course that God wants to guide us through. And His course, His plans are better. I think again of this journey, this path, that, and as we follow this path in it, and knowing that God leads us, I just see that His hand, it's His hand that guides us. And sometimes we can't see the way. We can't see down around the next curve or the next bend, but we know His hand is upon us. So no matter what 2019 looks like, we know that His hand will guide and be there for us, guiding us every day, step by step, moment by moment, day by day, come on, in the right direction. But yet what happens is we judge God sometimes by one frame of that film, that footage, you know, that course of our life. We judge God by one picture in that one day, and yet God is able to take one day that we don't think there is a way, and He's able to show Himself great on our behalf. We see it throughout Scripture. Children of Israel, as they came out of bondage and they were being led by Moses into the wilderness, out into the desert there, the Pharaoh decided, no, I'm not letting them go. And he comes after them with his chariots, and here they are up against the Red Sea. Come on, y'all have seen the movie, The Ten Commandments, right? You've read it in your Bibles, how that there they are, and they're between a wall of water and an army approaching. But God comes down in the midst of it and brings His presence between the two of them. You see that? See, what God's saying is, I'm going to take care of my children, and you can't touch them, right? There is a protection in the Lord. And no matter what seems to touch our life, ultimately God is in complete control of our life when we're fully surrendered to Him. And here they were, and then you know the story how Moses, God used Moses to part the Red Sea. Oh, you're talking about God being great. He's great. And guess what? Not only did they go over on dry ground, but then after the cloud lifted and here comes the chariot, oh no, here they come. It's over again. Now, how many times do we doubt God? And yet, then they turned around and Moses, again, used his rod and it was God's great power. The water enclosed upon. The Bible says that they saw their enemies no more, right? God destroyed the horse and the chariot. They sung a song about it. They just had a party on the other side of the Red Sea about the greatness of God, how great our God is. I mean, you could go throughout and see so many pictures. I want you to see these pictures in your mind. Daniel in the lion's den, right? Thrown in the lion's den for his commitment to his God and refusing to bow to the will of a man, was thrown into the lion's den. That's quite a situation. All night long in there with the lions. You're talking about a picture of doom and gloom, and it doesn't look like anything's going to get any better. You know, it's over now. No, God clothed the mouths of the lions. He was there in the midst of them, as He was in the midst of the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's just fun to say, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who they refused again to worship this idol, and yet so the king threw them into a fiery furnace. And you know the story. Come on, these are classic stories, but they're so good. How that they looked, that they heated the thing seven times hotter. The men throwing them in were killed, throwing them in. And then finally the king was able to look down into that fiery furnace and didn't see three but saw four and said the fourth was the form of the Son of God. God was with them in the midst of the fire. Come on. They came out not even smelling like smoke. Not a scent, not a hair was on their head was singed. Come on. That's God. What am I saying here? I'm just sharing with you some truths and some pictures that our God is greater. Our God is greater. No matter where you are, you may be like the disciples on the boat where the storm rises and they thought they were going to die, but here comes Jesus walking on the water. Can I tell you, Jesus walks on the water. He still walks on the water. He still is in charge. He's still a great God. I don't care what your circumstances or your past or 2018 has been speaking to you, He is still God, and He's greater than all your circumstances. And He's able to calm the storm. He's able to calm the storm without, or He's able to calm the storm within, right? Paul found himself on a ship that was in trouble. For days they were in a storm. Remember that story? And here they were, and one sad part of the story was, the scripture says, and when all hope was gone. That's a sad state to be in, is when all hope is gone. But God showed up. Paul stood up and said, this night there stood before me an angel and spoke to him. In other words, I've got a purpose on your life. It's not going to end here. I got a purpose on your life. You just got to stay on the boat and trust me. And you know what happened? The boat broke apart. Everybody grabbed a board. It was the first surfers ever recorded. Come on. They surfed in the land on boards, right? It was awesome. Probably wasn't. I don't know if they would call it awesome. It was probably pretty traumatic. But God was with them. And God spared them. And God saved them, right? And then there's another scene I think of as I look at Scripture, and that's the scene of the cross. You're talking about a day when it looked like all hope was gone for the disciples. Fear overtook them. Confusion overtook them. But the cross wasn't the end of it. There was another scene, and it was called the empty tomb and a resurrected Lord. And can I tell you, there's yet another scene to appear, and that's the coming, the return of Jesus Christ. There's hope today, everybody. There's hope. So where do we go from here? Let me give you some things that I think will help us today. Number one, put your trust in God. Put your trust in God. I believe God speaks to me more on this topic. You've probably heard me say this before than any other, when He really speaks really intimately into my heart, and that's this word trust. Trust. 1 John 4:16, again, I'm going to turn to that verse. It says, we know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in His love. You could trust in His love. There may have been others in your life that have betrayed you, and you love them and they betrayed you, or they've let you down or disappointed you. Can I stand here flat-footed today and just declare to you that His love is great, and He is faithful, and He is not a man that He should lie. He is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And nothing you have done, nothing in your life has ever changed or waned His love for you. He is a great God who loves you with an everlasting love, and it reaches as far as you go from Him. His love reaches you there to lift you up. Amen, everybody? Put your trust in God. And we know this scripture that's found in Romans 8:28 that says, and we know that all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. All things, even the bad things, guys, even the bad things, the tragic things, the disappointing things, the disheartening things, even the confusing things. Come on. All those things work together for good because we turn to Him. God's able to guide us in His purpose regardless of it all. Number two, not only put your trust in God, but let go of the past. That sounds so easy. Just let it go. But with God's ability, we have the ability to do it. God gives us the power to be able to let go of the past. That's not something that's just a human decision. Yes, our decision is a part of it, but we invite His power in our life. His Spirit is the one that releases the past in our heart and heals us of the past and restores His purpose in our life and, come on, and causes us to move forward past that thing. I love Psalm 103 that declares this. He does not punish us for all our sins. He does not deal harshly with us as we deserve. Now, look at this for a moment. He does not punish us. Let me tell you who was punished. Jesus was punished for our sins. Isn't that amazing? He took the punishment for us. That's love, everybody. I don't know how to communicate this more powerfully, more clearly to you. It's all in here. I can't really express how I want to express this. His love is so great. Jesus was punished for us. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. Come on. He was bruised for our iniquity. Come on. By His stripes, we are healed. It was all put upon Him. He became sin who knew no sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God. He does not punish us for all our sins. He does not deal harshly with us as we deserve. Look at verse 11. For His unfailing love toward those who fear Him is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth. Come on, everybody, His ways are higher than our ways, as the earth is from the sea, right? As the heavens are from the sea. His unfailing love is great as the height of heavens above the earth. Verse number 12, He has removed our sins as far as from us as the east is from the west. That's amazing. The east and the west never touch, guys. It never touches. He casts our sins into the sea of His forgetfulness to be remembered against us no more. Come on, come let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they will be white as snow. He comes to forgive us and to heal us from that thing. So therefore, knowing that, come on, that we're justified by faith in Him, we have peace now. We can let go of the past and we can grab hold of peace in Jesus Christ. Amen. In fact, how do we do that? Okay, how do we appropriate that? We know Jesus died, took our sins for us. How do we receive that? 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. That's God's doing. That's the greatness of God. He has the ability to come and to cleanse us and not just to forgive us, but now make us clean and make us pure and to follow Him. Amen? It's one thing, listen, to receive His forgiveness, but it's another thing to be changed. God's been dealing me with this topic recently. Listen, God's able to forgive, but then God's able then to cause you to not only to receive forgiveness, but then to follow Him. And there's a change that occurs in that. And that happens when we let go of the past. And then we move into this next point, number three, and that's fill the void. Fill the void. So He's going to take some things out of you. He's going to remove the past, but there's got to be something put in its place. Number, how do we do that? How do we fill the void? First of all, give your life to Jesus. Give your life to Jesus. That means the past, present, and future we're going to give to Jesus. And we're going to allow Him, our life, to be filled up with His presence. Filled up by His Spirit. Filled up with Him and His Word and His life within us. That's why Ephesians 5 and 18 says, don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Don't get filled with stuff. We don't need stuff. We don't need things. We don't need substance. We don't need all those kinds of things. We need the Spirit of God living within us. Because oftentimes when things aren't going right, those are the things we turn to. Well, I just need this. And it may be a drink, or it may be something different. It may be some substitute that we got to grab hold of. Because we need that. No, all we need is Jesus. Because all those other things will leave you wanting. Will leave you in lack. Come on. But Jesus, come on, He fills us and He satisfies us. That's why He said to the woman at the well, look, hey, I'm the one that can fill you, and you can draw from the well, from the water I give. You'll never thirst again. He's the only one that can satisfy. Come on, everybody. Anybody know that to be true? Give God a praise right now. Would you do it? Amen. Another way that we fill the void is get in a small group. Let's make it practical. Get into a small group. And those will be offered after the first of the year, after our time of our 21 days of prayer. Get into a small group. If you're not in one, I encourage you to get involved in one. And if we don't have one you like, start one. Start one with your neighbors. Start one with your coworkers. Start one before work. Come on. Start one after work. But get into a small group that's life-giving where you can share and do life together and encourage one another. Because Ecclesiastes 4 says this, there was a man all alone. He had neither son nor brother. There was no end to his toil. So he was all alone. But two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. It's words of wisdom that tells us you can't do this thing alone. We need each other. And then a third way, and these are ways that we really emphasize around here at Crosspoint, get into a small group and then also find your purpose in life. Find your purpose in life. And I love what Paul said, Acts 20 and 24. He says, but my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus. The work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. And we have different ways that each of us are called to do that, to live that out, to live out our purpose. But here's what it all boils down to, and that is that we want to live our life for the good of others. So write that down. Live your life for the good of others. 1 Peter 4 and 10 says, each one should use whatever gift he's received to serve others. It's all about others. And when we do those things, we fill our life with those things. Come on, we'll find that satisfying portion. So give your life to Jesus. Get into a small group. Find your purpose in life. Get on the growth track and figure out what that thing is. And then live your life for the good of others. Let me give you a fourth thing to do. Not just fill the void, but then I just want to emphasize this. And that is fully, underline that word fully. Fully follow Christ. Fully follow Christ. Psalm 119, 105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. So instead of trying to figure out how close to the world we can get and still be okay, let's see how close we can get to God and His Word. Right? And then some of those things that we're questioning, is it okay to do this or that, I honestly believe will fall away from us. Because, look, listen to this. The closer we get to God, the further the world fades. Come on, the things of this world turn strangely dim in the light of His glory and His grace. Our goal is to follow Jesus. In fact, the more we follow Jesus, the more we become like Jesus. We are being conformed into the image of Christ as we follow Him. The longer I live with Kim, the more we finish each other's sentences. The more we begin to look like each other. That's a good thing for me. It's bad for her. But I'm just saying, you've been hanging around each other so long. You hear their heartbeat. You know. Listen, the closer we get to God, the more we're going to reflect Him in our attitude and our perspective. The more the things in this world will check our spirit and say, that's a different spirit than the Spirit of God that's working on me right now. That's not God's Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord will rise up, and He will be greater than that spirit of that thing. Come on. He will be greater than that thing when we allow Him to be truly Lord and we follow Him with all of our heart, with all of our strength, come on, with all of our might. I think that's why Jesus, when He said, what is the greatest commandment? He said, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your might. He didn't just say half-hearted. In fact, He says in Revelations, if you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. But He encourages us, come on, return to your first love. Come on, love me with all your heart, with all your might, with all your strength, with all. Everybody needs to underline that word, all. Come on, with everything, right? Give it all to Jesus. Go all in. Go all out. Leave it all on the field. Come on. Don't reserve anything for yourself. Give it all to Him. And I'm telling you, your life will be a life of peace. God will bless your life. The Word of God doesn't need proof. It needs practice. This Word is still relevant today. It still works. His Word is more powerful than the word of negativism. His Word is more powerful than the word of doubt. His Word is more powerful than the word of fear. His Word is more powerful than all of yesterday's words that loom at you and say nothing can change. His Word is truth. And the Bible says you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. Amen? Listen, God doesn't want to just forgive you. He wants to free you. Right? The freedom comes as we follow Him. We receive fullness, we receive forgiveness, and we're complete in Him, but God wants to free us. That's why second step of our growth of our process here is to find freedom. And that's a process. And that means that we're to follow Him. That means we get in His Word, and His Word, the truth of God's Word, so we're not just adapting and adopting whatever the lies of yesterday said, but rather the truth actually sets us free from that and declares that God is greater and is able to bring us forth through whatever that is. John 14 and 12 says this. Jesus said this. Verily, very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I have been doing. Now get this. This is amazing, amazing, amazing. We've been talking about how great God is. And then He says, and they will do even greater things. Now I don't think we can improve on Jesus, okay? But I believe what Jesus is saying is the Spirit of God is going to be in all of you, and it's going to go all over the world. It's not going to be localized. The Spirit of the Lord is going to be in you, and wherever you are, you're going to represent me, and greater things are even going to be accomplished. But He says, you'll do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. He's going to send the Holy Spirit to be in us, to empower us. Let me tell you something. You don't work in your own power or your own strength. You have the power of the Holy Spirit working in you. But His desire is that we don't do lesser things. Come on. His desire is that we do greater things. I just want somebody to grab hold of this, that say, get a yes in your spirit and just be able to say to God, yes, I believe you want 2019 to be greater than 2018 in every area of my life. Come on. I believe it's going to be greater than before, that tomorrow's going to be greater than yesterday, that it's going to be that today's going to be greater than yesterday. Get a yes in your spirit. He wants you to be greater. In fact, there's a scripture that says that He stoops down to make us great. Isn't that awesome? He loves us that much. So I want to encourage you today. How does all this happen? Here's a statement I've put down here for you, and that's that I hope that each of you will allow this to be your prayer, watching online or in this house, that you'll declare this. Today, I surrender my life and my way to Jesus. We have to surrender it. David said, my times, O Lord, are in your hands. And that's the best place your times can be. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? God, thank you for your word today. And my heart's just been full in sharing what I believe you have for us today. I believe this is a message that is for those in this house, but I believe it's also for someone watching online. God, I declare today that nothing is impossible with you. I declare that my God can do anything. You are the great I am that we've declared and sung about today. Nothing is impossible with you. So Lord, I just pray that as a church, God, we'll be able to lay everything down at your feet, that you'll be Lord of every area of our life, and that you would be great in every area of our life. My heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you're here in this house or watching online, but you know that you need to make that step of surrendering your life to Jesus. You need to give all to Him. Maybe it's that there's an area that you've given most, you feel like, but there's some area you've kept back and you haven't fully surrendered. You haven't allowed Him to come in and be the Lord in that area of your life. I want to allow you to declare Him and to make Him Lord of every area of your life. Surrender that thing, that past, that person, that problem. Most importantly, yourself to the Lord Jesus. Let Him be Lord of your life. I want to lead you in a prayer. And if you need to pray this prayer, I want you to join with me. Just pray it from your heart. Let me just help you with the words. But if you want to join me in this prayer, I want you just to quickly, boldly slip up a hand and you put it right back down and say, Pastor, you pray that prayer when you come in. Yes, I see your hand over here. Yes. Yes. Yes, I see your hand. Good job. Good job. Proud of you, man. Proud of you. Watching online, I invite you to join us. Come on, this is just a simple prayer of surrender. Allowing the Lord to come in and begin a work that's going to change your life forever. Come on, pray this with me. Pray something like this. Everybody pray it for support out loud. Come on. Jesus, we love you. I invite you in my heart. Come inside. Make me brand new. Thank you for paying for my past. For all my sins and mistakes. Today I need you, God. Be Lord of my life. Change me. Make me new. God, today I give you my life. Everything. I commit myself to you. I invite you to come in. Come on, say this again. I give you my life. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for enabling me to fully follow you. From this day forward, in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you right now for the fact that you have now, as we've invited you to come in, you said if we would open the door, you'd come in. God, we've invited you to come in now, Lord. Be Lord of all. And I pray as you come in, I pray your peace, your love, your strength, your joy would be realized. Would be experienced now. God, day by day, may you fill us with your spirit, God, that we would walk this thing out, live our lives, God, fulfilling your purpose for which you made us. Thank you for who we are in you today. In
You are great, God. May your greatness, God, be known in us and through us, and we give you all the credit and praise for it, Jesus. Now, Lord, I just want to pray a prayer over this church. I pray, God, you'd make Cross Point great. Not because we're great, but because you're great, God. I pray, God, that this community, our area, our city, those far-reaching, God, would see the greatness of our God through our witness, through our presence here, Lord, and through wherever you have placed us, God. Lord, let us be light and salt, Lord, God, and may we see greater fruit, greater increase, Lord, greater things, Lord, God, because your word declares you are great, Lord. Fulfill your plan, fulfill your will, God, we pray. We'll give you all the praise, all the glory, and the honor. For it's in Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, amen.